Let's take you to John chapter 19, verse 23. John chapter 19, verse 23. You say, this is supposed to be a Mother's Day present. Well, it is. But I'm hoping that by God's grace, you'll get a clue of what he's saying to you. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lot for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciples whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Now, I'd like you to take a reality check about the disciple. That's a disciplined one. A disciplined one does not do as he chooses. He does as he is discipled to do or directed. I shared with you that I didn't want to go to the cemetery yesterday. But this discipled one drove into the cemetery and parked. Not because I wanted to go, but because there was a press. It says from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Do you think he might have had a few other issues? Yeah. It might have been an incredible challenge. There are times where God will press you to do something that your emotions don't like. But being disciplined, you'll do it his way and not yours. Can anybody relate? If you can relate, put your hand up. Okay. That's the commission that the Holy Spirit, I believe, is saying to the mothers today. Okay? You may have had a lot of emotional issues. And God is saying, be disciplined and go forward to the best of your ability in spite of the tears. Because the tears are real. And they hurt like crazy. For the men, carry these women in your heart. And don't let go. Don't let go. Move him into your home. This home. This heart is my home. Who else lives in my home?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. So the mothers in my life are in my heart. And the mothers that I hold in me are sometimes from broken backgrounds. My biological mother gave me away when I was 9 months old. She tried to take me back when I was 10 and a half months old. because of circumstances that happened. Less than a year ago, I found out the truth. What God allowed to take place in the house where I was born. 10.5 months later, and that was the reason that the commission was made to leave me with my half-brother and his wife. How many know the Holy Ghost is stronger than a child? Amen. He's stronger than a mother. He's stronger than a father. That's right. He knew I needed to be where I needed to be in spite of the emotions of my mom.
Amen.
Okay? Now, you say, why are you picking on mothers? Because it's Mother's Day. I have no other excuse. You say, well, I'm not a mother. I've got news for you. Every mother sometimes carries more than her own children. Amen. And even if they've never had a natural child, they've still got those instincts. And there might be some that are higher than others. There's one particular lady in my family. She made a confession to me years ago. She says, I have children, but you know what? I don't like babies. I like them when they're 3 and 4 years old. Babies scare me. What do I do? She's constructed to do a work for the 3 and 4 year olds that maybe the other mothers can't. So, you know, is there a pattern? Is there a outlay that's perfect? No. You're supposed to be diversified. You're supposed to be. But God says you are being disciplined to become. You may not comprehend the fullness of the challenges in your life. You may be going through some horrible, difficult spaces. All I can say is keep on keeping on. When he said to the woman, here is your son. He was pressing her to survive his death. How many have ever had a hug from Jesus with no flesh? How about if you've had a hug from Jesus with some flesh on him? Yeah. The one with flesh is better than the one without.
He spoiled me.
He spoils you. But what I'm saying is there are times your emotions are so tied in that you need somebody to hold. And I believe Mary had a need to hold on to John. She couldn't hold on to Jesus anymore because he was about to let go of his spirit. But,
the Holy Spirit in.
But she had not received the Holy Spirit yet. Think about it. She received the Holy Spirit 50 days later at Pentecost. So, consider what she needed to go through and God's provision of John, the disciplined one who took her to his home. He took her not only in his physical home, but in his spiritual home, his own heart. What am I giving you, an emotional ride today? No, that's not where I'm at. I'm trying to give you a little deeper understanding of what it must have been like for this woman of God. That does not negate who and what you and I experience as men and women in the earth. And as the church starts to become one, coordinate, she will become the bride and the wife. She's fine. She's just letting us know she's a mama to be. Not yet. That's her future. Talk to your mom about that. She'll let you know. As I was trying to give you an understanding that the intensity of the impact of his death, I don't think anybody could taste that except they've lived it. Losing your child is not something I ever want to experience. It's not something that I think we, you know, would impart to anyone else. But the Lord had warned Mary when he was dedicated in the temple. There was a prophet that said, you're going to suffer greatly down the road. And it says she held on to those promises in her heart. Those were words of knowledge that came through people that were chosen by God to build this woman up so she could survive the entire experience. It is no different than each and every single one of us. Everyone that is in this house has experienced some challenges. Every one of us has had a taste of difficult spaces. Every one of us is designed by God to go higher than we've tasted. And there are some spiritual Johns, disciplined ones, that come into our lives that become the ones that will carry us until we make it to the finish line. That is the experience that I pray that God will continue to give to you as you go forward. I want to give you a little bit of a message that was pressed into my heart about us being a sweet aroma to God, even in the midst of our being sometimes in the fire. How many know what it's like to be in the fire? Thank you. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 13, it says, the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. What is he doing? He's bringing a lamb, a sacrificial offering. In the Old Testament times, when a burnt offering is killed, its head is severed, the fat removed, and the entrails and legs washed. Then everything is placed on an altar and burnt. And the sacrifice is a sweet aroma to God. All this speaks of the death of Jesus, who has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling aroma, Ephesians 5:2. The head of the sacrificed animal speaks of the mind of Christ, offered as a covering for our minds. This means that although our mind is often clouded with unbelief, worries, foolishness, filth, human reasoning, God treats us as if we had the mind of Christ. Did you hear me? God treats us as if we have the mind of Christ, without wrong or displeasing thoughts, bringing pleasure to him like a sweet aroma. The fat of the animal speaks of the riches of Christ, his best. For God equates the fat as something with the best of that entity. Genesis chapter 45, verse 18. That's Genesis chapter 45, verse 18. The fat of the burnt sacrifice speaks of Jesus giving us his riches, his best, as our covering. So God does not see us in our lack, but in the riches and the excellence of Jesus going up to him as a sweet aroma. The entrails or intestines speak of Jesus' motivation, feelings, and affections and desires. That's what I tried to share earlier with you. I was trying to fight my emotions yesterday. I was trying to prevent others the night before from their emotions until the Lord said, let it go. I repeat, the entrails or the intestines speak of Jesus' motivation, feelings and affections and desires. We often feel fearful, anxious, stressed out, or angry. And it affects our stomachs and intestines. But God sees only Jesus' feelings and desires, which are always pure, beautiful, and acceptable to him, a sweet aroma. The legs refer to Jesus' perfect walk, his power to serve and obey the Father, imputed to our weak and faltering walk, and the fact that they are washed shows that even our crooked walk has been cleansed. Even my crooked walk has been cleansed. Beloved, God does not see your foolish mind or weak nature, inadequate feelings, or faulty walk. Instead, he sees you in perfection of his Son, who gave himself up for you as a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. Why am I pushing this button? Because I'm trying to get you to get a new focus of who you are in Christ. If I can get you to wake up, to see yourself from God's perspective, you'll have a future that'll be awesome. That's right. Instead of a, oh my God! What is he doing to me? Not doing anything to you. He's trying to get you to have a new understanding of who you are in the Anointed One. The corporate body is coming to life. It will not be aborted. That's right. The corporate body. You say, well, where did you get that from? His word, not mine. He's building up a church that will be alive in Christ. And they'll obey him, not you, not me, not with an attitude. You see, when your attitude is disciplined, you'll move in the one that you need to move in. Whether it's in your heart or in your house. You say, what are you talking about?
Your life.
Yeah, my life is right. Exactly my life. I had my father-in-law who lived with me for 27 years. I had my mother who lived with me for 7 years. That's 34 out of 55. Add it up. I had my grandson and his wife and his child move in with me for 18 months because he needed surgery and had to have a hip replacement. You say, how did you survive? My wife kicked me out and told me to move away because she couldn't handle me anymore. Welcome to the club. I've been there. But I carried my wife in my heart, even if I wasn't home. I carry her today when she's having a struggle and crying. That's my job. I'm telling you, body of Christ, carry each other.
Amen.
Carry each other. Carry each other in your hearts. And then you'll see the body of Christ move. You say, well, why isn't he moved yet? Because maybe he's waiting for you to be disciplined. Move in the mamas. And move in the papas. Move in the kids. Intercede for one another. Pray for each other until the fullness of Christ is formed in each and every one of you. You got the message. Now close your eyes. Say, today, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mama who gave up her convenience so that I could come alive and give an example to the body of Christ. Every single one of us had a mother. And we're grateful for them. If they had a hard time, if they had a difficult life, then it's my job to rejoice that they came to Jesus. And if they knew him, as I'm learning to know, it will be an awesome Mother's Day as I hold them in my heart. for God's plan to unfold in my life. And I will become, from God's perspective, a burnt offering on His altar to bring glory
to
the Father,
to
the Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. It's Fellowship Sunday.